The Board of Education meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. Decker, roll call, please. Roll call. Oh, we have to do the electronic. That's right. Oh. Updated script. Thank you. Board members Tara Costa Howard and John Kenwood are not able to attend the board meeting in person due to illness. In accordance with District 41 policy, Mrs. Howard and Mr. Kenwood notify the superintendent's office that they would not be physically present for the board meeting, but would both like to participate in the meeting by phone. May I have a motion to approve Mrs. Howard and Mr. Kenwood's participation by phone in tonight's meeting?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mr.
Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson? Yes.
That's it?
I'm sorry. Mr.
Smith?
Yes.
Okay, that's...
Welcome to the CAP Gemini conferencing service. Please enter your passcode followed by the pound or hash key, and I'll connect you. Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the second person to join the meeting.
You have reached the board. Who is still on, who's on the line?
This is John Kenwood on the line.
Okay, Tara has not joined the conference call yet. We'll go ahead and start, and when Tara joins us, we'll just add what time she joins the meeting. Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Howard?
Here.
Oh, she is here.
I just checked, got in. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Mr. Black? Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Thank you. Is there anyone present who'd like to address the board at this time? Thank you. Presentations, reports, and initiative updates. There are none scheduled for this evening. Our action items under consent agenda. Are there any board members who would like removed from the consent agenda any items to be considered separately? Hearing none, they have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources, the personnel report. We have a revised report at our tables that has been included an additional category of resignations. The employment recommendations included leave of absence, resolution authorizing the dismissal of educational support personnel, item 2, finance, facilities, and operations, which includes the treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue, expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, school district payment order, vandalism damage report, disposal of surplus property, the 2011-2012 FOIA report, and school maintenance project grant. And item 3, other matters, including board meeting minutes from April 9th, 2012 regular meeting, April 9th, 2012 regular meeting closed session, the April 6th, 2012 special meeting, and then April 16th, 2012 special meeting, and April 16th, 2012 special meeting closed session.
Motion. Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes. All right, superintendent's recommendations. The administration is recommending approval of the following recommendations, which were discussed by the board on April 9th. The first one is the 2012-2013 copier bid results. The administration is recommending that the Board of Education approve the copier bid from Unisource in the amount of $28.45 per case, based on delivery of 1,824 cases spread out over 12 months. The total cost will be $51,892.80. This pricing will be effective for the 2012-2013 fiscal year, which is July 2012 through June 2013. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion. Discussion. All right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood.
Yes.
Mr. Bondrack.
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson.
Yes. Item 2, Smart Music Subscription for the Band Orchestra Program. The administration is recommending that the Board of Education approve the purchase of Smart Music software in the amount of $19,634.71 based on a projected 700 students. Additional costs will include the yearly student and teacher subscription fee based upon the number of students and staff. Students will each need to make a one-time purchase of the instrumental microphone at approximately $15. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? I just want to add just a piece of data. I was at the band concert on Thursday night, and Mr. DiPaolo announced that they have registration of 260 students for band next year at Hadley, which is a doubling of the number of children involved in the band program. So I thought that was an interesting statistic that's timely, I suppose, for our conversation.
How is this choir increasing with the new director?
There's been a lot of enthusiasm.
More boys?
I couldn't tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to check. Yeah. I would anticipate that that will happen.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondrack?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. Superintendent's report.
I'm going to forego my report this evening, knowing the length of our agenda with multiple discussion items and, a less than 100% board team here. So in deference to our colleagues who are not feeling so great, we'll try to make this as expeditious as possible. Yeah. Not to mention that there's a sporting event on.
Thank you. Both John and Tara, if you can't hear us, please make sure you let us know so we can all speak up. All right? Board reports. Can you hear us okay, Tara?
Actually, I can.
You can? Okay, good.
Yes, I'm good. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
All right, board committee reports. Any reports? Go ahead, Tara.
Go ahead, Tara. I'm trying to get my computer to work, so
okay. Okay, I'll be quick. I have one from CIT. I actually missed the meeting, but was able to get a quick talking points from Nancy Moak, who provides those each time after the meeting. CIT is the Continuous Improvement Team. And then also Margaret Immick, who is our new parent representative, who's doing a great job. So just a couple things. Teams are identifying specific actions for CIT to take in terms of the long-range plan implementation, which has been the focus of CIT, so that continues. And the LLT, Learning Leadership Team, is working on development of a self-assessment tool for students around learner characteristics as we're kind of raising the bar on those being incorporated. LLT is looking at a self-assessment for that, which is great. The other quick board report I have is actually from the PTA council meeting this morning. I sat in for Sam this morning, Sam Black. Two quick things. PTA District 36, of which we're a part, had an awards meeting at Ben Franklin. Great attendance, more than 70 participants from the D36 region, which we're a part of. But some awards from District 41 PTA Council, just of note. One is that the president of Lincoln's PTA, Kristen Massey, received what they call the Rookie of the Year Award, which is for her engagement in PTA process, learning applications around how to use the district resources, and just leadership in terms of her own local unit, which was great. Ben Franklin actually received the first place award in the technology area for the implementation of their app and using an app application for parents around PTA issues, which is great. And then Holiday Sharing, which is a community outreach committee for PTA Council, received the Community Outreach Award So congratulations to the community outreach chairs, which are the heart of that, and also Margaret Giffen, who coordinates the activity. PTA Council Executive Board was elected today, and we'll make sure that everybody gets these names. Jody Baltimore, will be president her second year. Shanna Ferris will be vice president, new to the board. Jen Malik, secretary, new to the board. And Deb DeVere, as treasurer, will be her second year. Thank you. Anything else? Okay.
I was like the meeting person this time around, and I emailed my reports to Maureen, but in saying that, just a quick update, I attended the Lincoln PTA meeting for Steve at Lincoln has.
Can you guys hear me? Is that better?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. So Lincoln PTA, we're having their fun fair over the weekend. They have their TV screen-free week next week, April 30th through May 6th. And their senior tea was also held last Friday, their annual event. And they were talking about how they moved their Olympic days to the very last day of the school year as their all-school celebration. Obviously, things were going well. I gave my board report, Lincoln PTA, and members there were, they definitely read the e-blasts that are sent and asked a couple of questions about some of those items, but were very supportive of the work the board's been doing. I also attended that evening then Ben Franklin PTA meeting, and Ben Franklin had a successful, they called it the Shamrock Soiree, which was just a fun adult evening fundraiser that raised $2,000 or $3,000, and they did, so that was successful, and they're going to do that again, possibly as just a thank you of to a social event, adult social event in the future. High Interest Day is next week on May 4th. They're doing a family, again, it's mostly their year-end parties, looking forward to fifth grade mixer that's hosted at Churchill every year, a family skating party on May 31st, and at their next meeting, they're going to be swearing in their new board in May. They also decided to change their fifth grade year-end celebration. In the past, they've done big, you know, fifth grade parties, usually in an evening off campus. And this year, they've decided to do more of a fifth grade celebration, probably similar to what they do at Lincoln, a picnic, graduation award, graduation, and that the fifth graders have done kind of mini fundraisers throughout the entire year to raise funds to be able to do that. So just a nice different change of pace for them. As for LLT, unfortunately, I was not able to be there, but highlights of LLT, Stacey Onak provided an overview of RTI and shared the status of where the elementary schools, where they are in their process. And Hadley has a subcommittee addressing RTI at the middle school. LLT did a lot of, they worked a little bit more on learner characteristics and, reminding everyone that they're both for staff and students and worked on assessing and goal setting as components of that. They worked in small groups to identify those learner characteristics. And then there was a discussion as well about there are new Spanish textbooks, and Karen, please jump in, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's new textbook in foreign language at Glenbard West. Thus, Hadley needs to change their Spanish textbook, and so they'll be using a new Spanish textbook next year to stay in line with the high school curriculum. But I don't believe that impacted French just yet, correct?
Correct.
French is next.
Okay. So it's just Spanish. So, again, making those recommendations for using the new Spanish textbook for next year. That's it. And I forwarded all my reports off to Maureen.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Tara.
Actually, Tara just triggered me. I attended the Lincoln Fun Fair over the weekend and had the pleasure of working a shift at a tic-tac-toe booth. So that was fun. It was interesting. It was on a weekend day this
year.
Changed, so we'll see how it turns out. Mm-hmm. I think, and it was a little longer, so it wasn't as crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of stretched it out, made it a little easier.
Yeah.
Plus, little kids weren't as cranky at
2 in the afternoon versus 8 at night. I think it worked out very well.
Good. Thank you, everybody. All right. Discussion items.
The first item on our discussion this evening is first read for policies. Section 4 is the predominant section that you were given, and also policy 2.150, which is committees, the board's authority, or the board president's authority to assign to committees. And you'll notice that very minor change, but we think answers the concerns that the board members had. And then finally, policy 7.20, which is harassment of students. And that is a required update by the law and must be filed with the state every 2 years. And so reviewing that and getting that updated a little bit to be submitted. The other policies you'll see in Section 4, which is our operations section, basically, and includes finance and all other business operations for the district. Some of those policies had been updated in 2008, and so it wasn't a full, you know, we didn't have to redo every policy. Many of you will probably remember we also redid the investment policy, I believe, in 2010. So there's been some smattering of revision there. You'll also notice in Section 4 we've deleted some things, just taken them out of the exhibits completely, because they're not something that we either use anymore or that we feel needs to be in as an exhibit. One of the primary examples of that would be our emergency guidelines, preparedness guidelines. And because we update those annually, they stay basically the same, but we update them annually. We really felt like they didn't need to be an exhibit, that they're in the schools, they're located in every classroom. So, I mean, they are there and visible for anyone who does want to see exactly what our guidelines are. Erica, is that...
Just, I want to thank Sam in absentia working on this with me with Policy Committee. And, you know, to Ann's point, both Sam and I, when we... The way that we do this is similar to the way, almost the same, Dan, as the way you and I did this last year, and even Bob and I started this, and that is for, you know, one of us to start the read. I did it this time, you know, organize my comments, send it to Sam, he adds his comments, and then we pass it on to Ann and Maureen. You know, Section 4 had a lot of staff, and thank you to Karen and Lori and Bob and Phyllis and Julie for looking at a lot of this as well, because your eyes had to be on this to make sure it was either applicable or not, so thank you. Last thing I do want to say, because I neglected this last time, is to thank Maureen, because Maureen Stecker really is the... is exacting about providing this resource to us in terms of the corrections and does all of the work behind the scenes. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks. When Sam was here, thank you for your time and effort. I remember the fun times we had.
Absolutely, Dan. We're going to miss you.
You know, just one thing that kind of triggered me, you know, we have all the policies around ADD, and I don't know if... When I was just reading about an incident, I'm sure it was an airport or a school, where someone went to use an AED and it turned out the battery was dead.
The nurses check the batteries on a, I think, monthly basis. It's a great question, because we asked the same question when we were retrained for CPR this year. Mm-hmm. We wanted to know what the practice was. And I think here, who checks it here? I think here in FAF does here, too, doesn't she? Or Rose, I can't remember. One of them checks our batteries here.
So if there's any comments, please, you know, send them forward. And this is our first reading tonight.
Okay, next item is yearbook printing recommendation. And that is, you know, we've discussed this so much, I was thinking, this is on discussion. We had this come forward to Finance Committee twice, because the bid, actually the bidders, the original bidders who were awarded the bid, did not really pay attention to all of the specs in the bid. And so they, when Bob was reviewing it with them, discovered that they had... charged us a price that they didn't feel they could live with. So we went back to bid, and our original bidder, our original vendor, which we have now, Jostens, turned out to be the award for the bid. And the yearbook is coming in slightly lower than last year's. So it's really resulted in a savings that we pass along to our students.
Great. This is one that I would just put on the consent agenda based on the discussion we had last week, if everyone would agree to that.
How can you consent agenda discussion? Now he's talking about whether it's brought back for the vote.
Yeah, Steve, in our last meeting we discussed that if we felt after a discussion...
Yeah, I don't think I'll say that much time.
Mm-hmm. So if we don't like the idea, we don't have to do it, guys.
I understand what you said. What John is saying, I mean, John, are you suggesting can we vote on it tonight or no?
No.
So no, I was just saying we had discussed a new process of putting it on the consent agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I thought everyone liked the idea, but maybe not.
No, but you're right, John. I've identified items that might tighten up the meeting mm-hmm. schedule a little bit.
I think what's important, and I think you've just done it, John, is to identify those items at the end of a discussion to say this one is pretty easy. I don't think there'll be much further discussion or you know, feedback from the community, we can put it on consent.
Let's put this on and okay. See. Try it as a test.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Happy to do so. Our next discussion item is our 21st century classroom bid results. And get my glasses back on. And we have looked at both the 21st century classroom furniture as well as a portion of this purchase is related to completing the desk replacement at Hadley, which has been a 3-year process, and we should be finished with all of those desks as well as refurbishing the desks in the pod area. But we're asking the board to give consideration to an additional 24 classrooms at the elementary level for 21st century furniture, and that brings the total of that bid up to $229,841.07. Mm-hmm. I believe at finance, Dan, I think you asked the question about separating the cost, and you'll see in the discussion that cost has been separated.
So this is six classrooms at each elementary school, and then all of Hadley, is that right?
The completed work at Hadley, correct.
Mm-hmm. So that will bring the...
And then I got some questions about these classrooms at both the PTA meetings,
mm-hmm.
asking about Hadley. What are the intentions of the district in terms of outfitting some of our
mm-hmm.
our classrooms at Hadley?
The desk replacement at Hadley is probably the desk replacement we feel that is an adequate desk replacement that we would use going forward. They're square flat desks that can be arranged in table groupings so that you have a larger workspace, and so those really were designed when we made that decision 3 years ago. It was after consultation with the Hadley teachers, what would, tables, desks, and then these were the most versatile arrangement that we could offer at that time. So those desks are probably the same desks we would use going forward. We haven't really had a conversation about what I'd call alternate seating at this point with Hadley. Our 21st century conversations with Hadley will probably be first around, and is first around the LLC and the redesign of that, and after that probably will be lab structures, STEM labs,
okay.
That sort of thing.
Okay. So we're not looking currently at any type of...
Hokies?
our cool rocker, any of those types of things that we have for spaces?
Not at this point, no.
Okay.
So, and just to clarify, because on top of that, Tara, this morning at PTA Council, there was some conversation around this because Ann presented it as part of her connections report to PTA Council. And this additional six will now bring the elementary classroom total up to eight per building, correct?
Correct.
With 21st century classroom furnishings. So it's a push to try and integrate more.
And trying to escalate that furniture purchasing so that we can move on to another phase of transforming our facilities as much as humanly possible to more appropriate 21st century classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Other comments? Questions? All right.
Next item on the agenda relates also to some extent to our 21st century classroom plan, and that is the painting of our buildings. And we, after discussion, we painted Lincoln last summer, and after discussion of really trying to accelerate our 21st century classroom implementation, we talked about let's get all of our buildings painted, because then that will be done and we can move on to other kinds of areas of FFE, such as lighting, sound baffling, that sort of thing in the future discussions. And so we're requesting that all of our elementary buildings be painted next year. That would include Forest Glen, Ben Franklin, and Churchill. And the cost, the overall cost of that bid has come in, at $418,000. Nope, I'm sorry, no, $180,000. Look at the bottom.
Bob, when go ahead, John.
Well, so I understand this is around 21st century. It seems a little odd that all the schools need to be painted at the same time from a maintenance perspective. I'm just asking, is that the case? Were these schools due to be painted next year, all of them, or
do
they still have life cycle on their last paint job?
They're all at least 10 years old in terms of their
last paint job. They're all overdue then.
They're all overdue.
But they were all painted at the same time the last time around, which is at least 12 or 13.
Could you hear that,
John? Bob said that they were all painted.
I could hear that very well.
Oh, okay,
yes,
sorry. We won't repeat then.
if this is approved by the board, the plan for this be done by Teacher Institute days before then? What's the potential?
The plan is to start the day, really the days kids are out of
the
school.
The day after.
we presented to the contractor our hopes.
Expectations.
Everything's done the first week of August.
Okay.
So we just put it short.
Okay. First week in August.
And they'll have a kind of a rotation, put all of their energies into one building and then move to another building so that we can get use of the buildings as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So that they're not being tied up all summer long and teachers can't get in and work in the building.
Okay.
And then the cleaning schedule will be arranged around that.
Anything else? All right. Smart board.
Next item is the final phase of the smart board rollout, and we discussed this at finance. And Mike is looking at final implementation for 75 smart boards for a total cost of the lease cost would be $119,453.80, and and then the installation cost would be the installation cost amount of $13,125, which would be not done in a lease but just paid out of budgeted funds for a total, grand total, of $132,578.80. And that will all major educational areas. So there might be a couple spaces within each of our buildings that are used for conferencing or are in remote locations that will not have a smart board in them. But otherwise, almost every learning space in our schools will have a smart board.
And then that's including Hadley, Ann?
That's including Hadley.
Okay.
Are there mobile smart boards in case you want to?
There are some mobile smart boards. Each of our learning center has a mobile smart board.
So for some reason you had to use the smart board in one of those rooms, it could be accommodated.
Sure. Gently.
Right.
Carefully. I'm sorry, Tara.
So,
or John?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm assuming that the adoption from the teachers has been good, and we feel comfortable that they are using them, and I assume that they like this and it helps them from an educational perspective, and they all want these things, right? That's a part of this.
Yes. Yes, there may be a couple reluctant users out there as we do this final rollout that still, might say, oh gosh, I've got to be ready now. But those who are having smart boards right now are in user groups and working with each other on the implementation of the smart boards. And I would say there's strong enthusiasm for the smart boards in the classrooms. And greater. Anxiousness to finally get one for those who don't have one yet.
Okay. I mean, this is another one that I would see if the team agrees to go on the consent agenda, or if anybody wants to discuss it further.
I'm with John. Just put it on the consent agenda.
It's fine. We have no other questions.
Someone's going to go up with a question before the board.
Well, the only question would be that Sam is not here to weigh in.
That's true.
Sam is not here, so.
I think it's good. It's actually read at the meeting, the final meeting, since we record our meetings.
It is public record then.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think it saves a minute, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's long discussions that the board members have reading, so I let everyone watch us on the phone.
Yeah. If we get our questions in ahead of time, then we can move through this quickly. Yeah, I only hesitate with the fact that Sam is not here and, didn't have the ability to call in.
He could always pull it, but whatever. I don't care whatever you guys want to do.
Let's try just one next time, and we'll see. We'll kind of monitor the speed with which you get through your action items to see if it makes too much of a difference. I think the one thing that I mentioned to you all, I think when we were talking about this, is that the reason we do have. We have a very elongated process compared to many districts in terms that we have three times in which an item can be discussed. And so I think that also lends itself to it when you get to the final step that you can put it on the consent agenda because it's had, more conversations. But the public has only had a chance to hear this once.
Right.
And so the other reason you put this on for action is that it does allow public discussion. And when you have something on consent, we prohibited the discussion about it. So when we're making expenditures that are anything other than perfunctory, which you see all the time, our list of bills and that sort of thing, we put on consent and we put our human resources on consent because they're of a more perfunctory nature. But every time we're expending on a project or an initiative, the reason behind three board meetings is to give ample time for feedback and input and discussion.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right, anything else on that?
Next item is food service point of service acquisition, and because we are moving all of our elementary schools into a hot lunch program, we need to have the point of service, which is an electronic debit system to allow students to not have to carry cash to school, and they simply use an ID to get their lunch for that day. And that point of service is has an additional cost associated with it of $3,997, and that's something that would be added to each time part of our software purchase. We want to do it with the Skyward system because the Skyward system would allow us then to have all of our student data in one location, making it much more accessible for everyone in the system, as opposed to having to align it with another standalone system. So that's why the recommendation is for the Skyward product, which is in the amount of $27,643 for implementation next year, with that ongoing cost of nearly $4,000 for software for the licensing.
We talked about this during finance. I was able to sit in on finance. Did this number change? I can't remember if it was this one that there was.
No, the food service equipment.
Equipment. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
Yeah, that, which hasn't come to us yet. Right. Okay. Never mind.
There were some questions. Lincoln was asking a number of questions about this, so I'm assuming they're going to get fully briefed on it. They have a lot of. They seem to be one of the schools that has a kitchen, and so they had a lot of questions as to how this was going to work. Because I think they have a lot of kids in the lunch program.
Mm-hmm. It will work. I mean, there'll be a lunch line, and there'll be a server who will dish up the food and hand it to the students. The food will be.
Well, and that was. That was the way I had anticipated it as well. I think they were just asking questions in terms of, you know,
would their kitchen be used?
System, how is it going to work? And you know, you will be fully briefed on this before it begins.
Yeah, I mean the back. I don't know if they're asking questions about the front end, the kids getting the food, or if they were asking questions about the back end, how are we going to get the food to the kids?
I think a little of, I'm going to go with a little of, I think they're just curious as to how it would work and everything.
Okay.
You know, just the logistics of it all, and my response is, you know, that, and they were, you know, very, just asking questions if I knew anything. Obviously, I didn't. I just suggested that, you know, working with Shannon and that they would have, you know, that stuff would be done.
Well, and that's probably a really good thing to bring to PTA Council, too. We could do a kind of an explanation for all councils so that they have that, as PTA leaders have that.
I think that would help, Ann, because, you know, I think it probably impacts every school a little bit differently. But they were, you know, again, very curious as to how it was going to work.
Sure, sure. Okay, we'd be happy to do that. Any other questions?
No? Just seems to make sense. Again, Hadley, all of them will be on the same system, internal, more seamless. And as you said earlier, Phyllis, that families then will be able to access because Hadley will be on the same system at that point.
Okay, next item is the computer refresh cycle for the elementary schools. As you will recall, we did the refresh last year at the junior high and brought in netbooks and laptops with replacement of desktops for each of the classrooms as sort of the hub of technology in the classroom, that desktop being stable and all of the projectors and that sort of thing could run from that desktop. We're using a similar model in the elementary building so that there will be a desktop in each room to serve as the focal point for all of the data and equipment that's in there. But in addition, we'll be purchasing laptops and iPads for each of the elementary buildings. And instead of going with the netbooks, Mike in his focus groups with the elementary have chosen to go with laptops. They're a little bit more durable and hardy for the elementary users. And the configuration will come out to five laptops for each K-5 elementary classrooms and four iPads for each elementary classroom. And so the total number of laptops will be 550 with an additional 20 iPads that will be distributed. They'll take the ones that are already in the Learning Center and redistribute all the iPads across the schools. Is that correct? Did I get the number of iPads correct?
Well, the iPads are actually a separate recommendation. It's coming next.
Oh, that's next.
But it would be a configuration of five laptops that would be done for the K-5s and one desktop that would be in each classroom. So a total of 245 desktops and 550 laptops.
Yeah.
So, Mike, last year, whenever we put some of the laptops at Hadley, we took our, there was 120 that we pulled out and distributed to the schools. What's going to happen to them?
Right now, they're going to stay in the libraries. There's 30 per building, so we have 30 in the libraries, and they'll still be available for checkout. I'd also like to make at least 10 of those available for teacher use to check out if they needed to take them home, go on a Google meeting or a conference, if they have those available for them too. So my plan right now is to keep those in the libraries for checkout.
And do we have a feel for utilization or how often those are used or how often a classroom uses some of those?
They're used every day. At the grade school level, they don't take them out in carts like Hadley does, where they might take out 10 or 15 at a time. At the grade schools, they're more comfortable taking out 3 or 4 at a time, and that configuration does accommodate that. I wouldn't anticipate we'd see quite as much of that, given all the laptops that would be available in the classroom, but would still be utilized for teachers and for the library as well.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to technology in the classroom. My only concern is it's a pretty large expense, and we're going to put dedicated laptops in every room. I guess on my approach, I would favor is to see some smaller amount that is then more in a pool or checkout situation. Now that's just me. I don't know how other board members feel, but I just kind of wonder a little bit about the large expense and then how much is it really going to be used. Is there a more efficient model that would be come up?
Well, with the laptops, and Ken and I talked about this a little bit in the focus group, is exactly how to disperse the laptops. And so, for instance, at Hadley, we use the cart model. So there's a cart that's dedicated to a grade level or a content area. And then the teachers within that team kind of decide, how they were going to divide those up. I would still see that model as being able to be supported at the grade schools as well. So if they did want to pull together a collection of laptops and have a bigger project, or even have a couple of classrooms get together and have a bigger project, that's still a viable option. Where with desktops, you really couldn't do that. That was never an option in the past. So the way I looked at it is the request was to have at least 5 devices available for student use. Was to break that down by the sections that we currently have and times that by 5. And so that came to the number of 550. So then we could still utilize those however we want, whether or not they get dedicated to a single classroom or they're used in a cart, in the cart model where they're shared, that's still an option. And I do have carts, security carts, also as part of this proposal for securing and charging those laptops. So I think it's flexible enough to really accommodate either need. And as we go forward, just as we did with Hadley, we'll have this initial model, how it will look. But within a few months, we'll have another conversation to see where this is working, things that we complete, and we can still adjust as we go along. So even though this may be the model we begin with, how it winds up looking once the school year is over may change, depending on what the need is for the future students.
And it may be different at every grade level and at different schools.
Too.
It's really a part of the design to create one-to-one access for all students on any given day, which a lab configuration doesn't allow us to do. But this would allow large group, whole class instruction as needed with the laptops, as well as small group work and more of the station approach.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I hear what you're saying, Dan, and I think what's important about that, or at least my takeaway, is the flexibility that, and I understand what you're saying, Mike, which is we have to start with some configuration so that it starts here, but it's not an end point, that as teachers work in their grade levels or schools start to see larger projects, and we talked about that in terms of lab use being more robust projects in there, then they'll start to, that's part of the ownership of the learning, is to figure out how to use some of this. I will say, when you did the tours, I was able to go over to Lincoln because I hadn't been there when the kids were in school. I think I was in your son's classroom, actually. And what was neat about it is the autonomy that you were able to see with the children about knowing what they had to do, and then the teacher saying, okay, get to your work, whatever it is. And there were two sets of small groups of kids. I think there were 4 kids per group who pulled a laptop, and one used a their iPads? Mm-hmm. Yeah, iPad. And they were working on their article for their blog. And so the kids were wrapped around that. They had access to it. So it just said to me that as we increase options, it increases, or opportunities for the technology, it increases their options to use it and kind of figure out their own way to do it. So I'm glad to hear, again, based on Dan's comment that it's really, once we get them in there, we have to have some structure to it, obviously. But once they're in there, that there's flexibility to figure out how to use them.
Right. And this model will also mirror the 21st century classrooms that we've had in place for this year. So currently, they've had 5 laptops and iPads available in those rooms. So this recommendation would kind of mirror what they've
in our regular classroom, other classrooms.
Right. But they've already been piloting. So we'll already have teacher leaders that have used this structure for a year and will have some familiarity with what works and what, you know, what they struggle with.
Are those really laptops or netbooks?
These are full laptops. The reason we chose laptops, first of all, the durability. They're a little bigger, a little heavier, a little less easy to break. But they're also more robust and can handle some of the locally installed programs that we still have quite a few of at the grade school. So programs that we couldn't really load onto a netbook, but we can load onto a laptop. So it serves a dual purpose for us. They're more powerful laptops, so you'll handle some of these applications, and they're more durable. So, our smaller students are not going to have as quite, won't be quite as easy to damage some of these.
Yeah.
Also, with the implementation of Compass Learning, we did an initial training day, and there's 2 good chunks of time between the literacy block and the math block that the teachers expressed interest in being able to rotate kids through as kind of a station and having access to them. Because what we don't want them to do is take their whole class to the lab and spend lab time getting on Compass Learning. And then another component of that is with the new Common Core standards, research is a huge component of that, and they kind of have, in this framework, have outlined kind of 4 research projects over the course of a year, and so teachers have started to envision kind of have those laptops set up at each group so that they can be conducting that research, and that's throughout that literacy block. And then in addition, there's the whole concept of kind of kids needing to learn to do research on the fly, kind of those really quick, why don't you investigate that, if you investigate that, so you want kind of that quicker, easier access to those laptops.
And we saw that as we visited, the 21st century classrooms, that in the moment research, where each child was assigned to something different to find an answer to.
In theory, we could have the new summer school replacement software available to the children during class.
That's what Karen was talking about.
That Compass.
The Compass Learning, the Odyssey.
Mike, as I understand this, you want to add roughly 800 new machines.
Mm-hmm.
How many machines does the district currently have?
At the grade schools?
In total.
Off the top of my head, I couldn't give you a phone number, but I can definitely give you.
Give me a back of the envelope number.
Grade schools, I think it was about 100 per building, and those are mostly desktops. If we're just looking at the equipment that's going to be replaced, it's about 400 desktops that would be replaced.
Across
the grade schools.
And then total number of laptops, netbooks that we have.
Right, there's still 175 netbooks that are also out there, the 120 laptops that we talked about, the 30 iPads per building. So there's other devices that are still in play there that are not going to be refreshed this summer, but we're looking at really getting rid of the desktops and replacing the desktops in this classroom. And not replacing the student desktops, but replacing those with laptops and iPads. Mm-hmm.
So the total number of student-used devices in the district is what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be correct? Do you need the wireless proposal we talked about in finance in order to implement this? Because the infrastructure we have today won't, so it wouldn't support.
Right. And Hadley, we're already seeing that. As much wireless as we have currently.
Yeah, it might be easier to look at all this. I mean, since we do yearly leases on everything, and we've been paying for this, we've got these laptops, is what do we spend per year on technology? And it's really, because you see this big number, we're spending $600,000 on laptops, but it's over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're leasing it all to say, okay, we spend X amount per year for technology every year. We're going to increase that by trying to get more laptops. You know, we can't get away from spending money on technology every year. So that's really what we need to be talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're in this phase, too. And, Mike, you just described it, and I think it's a good reminder for us, where we're getting rid of static technology, I guess I would call it, which is the desktops, which don't provide what we're talking about, what Dan just brought up, which is the flexibility, and also required in the kind of classroom that we're adopting, which is 21st century quick problem solving, critical thinking, student ownership, all those pieces. So we're really moving from classrooms, you know, Drew, in the back, where when we walked in and we saw all the desktops, those are gone, so that you can have this flexibility. So we're in this is a high volume transition time.
Well, and you know, I think again we identified for the board last year when we created the renewal of the long range plan that a focus for us over the next several years would be implementation of technology in order to create that one to one access for students, and that mobile technology would be the vehicle by which we would do that with multiple devices, types of devices.
But you know, and we have to see too with this, we're increasing productivity of learning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the teacher can have a small group go work on something on some computers while they can focus attention on another group one to one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's exactly what I saw in the Lincoln classroom.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what, you know,
that's the goal.
Business has increased productivity. That's what all our gains are over the last couple decades, is use of computer technology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the same thing in education. We're not hiring aides and other types of staff. You want to look at it that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can make one other point about the quantity, it also includes the ELL programs, the EC programs, the special ed programs, which have never been on any kind of a refresh cycle. So we're going to see elevated numbers just based upon that. But those programs were never part of any formal refresh cycle. So this is also an effort to bring them all together so they're all in the same refresh cycle. Every student has access to the same level of technology, which we haven't had.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. John or Tara, anything else?
I'm good.
Okay.
The only thing from my perspective, a thought that triggered, I'm not sure if it's in it or not, but given that we do, that technology will continue to be a line item, is it a line item in our budget that we, you know, kind of like our capital improvement
mm-hmm.
line item budget, or is it something we just budget yearly or annually?
No, we have a long range plan for technology that is, we've stretched it to 10 years, but it's really viable only for 5 years. But we have a 10-year plan that we use each year.
Right, but what I'm saying is that budget is based on what we think the need is. It's not like a standard budget line item that we know we're going to invest, you know, whatever, 10% back into technology every year based on the spend we have. Right?
No, it's based on the long-range plan.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you. Next item is the iPad rollout, which I apologize, I was trying to put them all into one one recommendation. But that is the kind of the concluding piece of the technology rollout for the elementary buildings, and increasing the iPads in each classroom to four in each classroom. And if you'll notice that we already have iPads in our buildings at various levels. Some schools have purchased some, and so Mike's interest here is in bringing that level the same across all of our buildings, and part of this will be pulling the iPads out of the LLCs and using them as part of the distribution into the buildings. And so 20 at a grade level, and it looks like the total purchase would need to be 80 iPads.
It's 10
per grade level.
Right.
Sorry. I hope I haven't been communicating to any of the grade levels. It was 20. I might have been. Oops. 10 per grade level, and then you can see that they've been bundled to get the best price possible. Mm-hmm. So the total cost with a three-year lease would be $64,632.
The only, I just had the comment, we talked at Finance Committee about at the PE having some hardened cases, so I just want to share those that were not there. That was something we didn't talk about.
Mm-hmm. We just got those.
Good.
I'm sorry, I missed what you just said.
At Finance Committee, not this time, but last time, we had just talked about hardened cases for the PE teachers.
Oh, hardened, gotcha. Hardened like cases. I'm
sorry. Gorilla cases,
yeah.
Or something.
Because
yeah.
A part of this order is getting iPads for the PE teachers, for the Hadley Music program has made a request to Mike for some iPads, as has the Hadley Exploratory teachers. So that's also included in this.
So the retail price for a 16 gig Wi-Fi is $599. Ten pack, you get them for
$558
plus Apple Care Plus, which is 1 year or 3 years.
That was for 3 years.
For 3 years.
So for 3 years on the warranty.
Apple Care Plus is
a year. You get a year regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I just got one. The Apple Care Plus. You said if you drop it for any reason, you can get the crack the screen. Have you already returned? I mean, what's our...
We just actually got one back. The turnaround was extremely quick. It's just kind of a depot service. We just drop it off at UPS. It's just shipped out, and basically they just ship us a new one, is what it looked like. And it wasn't a cracked screen. It was a defective, or actually a damaged button that had to be replaced. So.
We talked a little bit about this too, as being part of the reorganization approach. Again, the push out of technology in terms of being able to be have access. You know, it made me think, Mike, when you were saying that teachers would have the access to be able to sign out a laptop, and really that's part of their curriculum planning in terms of being able to have that accessible to them if, you know, they're using whatever, a PC, and they're have a Mac laptop, then they could have the PC to go home with and, you know, practice and do that kind of thing. I just think it supports some of the reorg questioning around being comfortable with the technology, so that's a plus as well. I'm glad to see that PE is using it too. I mean, there's so many applications for PE.
They've been doing a great job. In fact, at their last PE meeting, well, not the last one on SIP day, but I'm their liaison on SIP days, and showing each other, actually, and I was just there too, some apps that they're using for assessment, which are really, really just wonderful, and they're student specific, so they can really, you know, student skipping, and they can capture that, they video, and they can capture the form of the student, and so after they've given instruction, they can go in and draw this arrow down and say, well, see, you need to put your, you know, more direct, your knee more directly in line with your body, see where yours is at, it's tilted over the side. I mean, it's just a great assessment.
And the cardio lab too, as they're learning how to use the equipment.
All kinds of uses. Cool. And so they've been really, I think the elementary PE teachers in particular have been really invested in experimenting, and the Churchill PE teachers in particular have really taken the lead on that. So, yeah, I was really excited to see that Mike was able to give them help accommodate their request.
Yeah.
Hadley's been using a mobile device for a couple of years now.
Well, for this past year, it's a Samsung tablet that they've been using.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it allows them to be able to circle with Skyward to be able to access their attendance, and they do a lot of video information on that as well, and fitness lab and that sort of thing.
And I also want to remind the board, we had this discussion earlier about the technology rollout over the next few years as it relates to the long-range plan, and looking for the right configuration of devices. And so there's a certain level of, you know, we talked when we did the netbook purchase, I believe. Will netbooks be the right thing, or will they be a tablet solution? And, you know, Mike's done a lot of work in terms of keeping our options open over the next 3 years as we utilize both tablet options and the netbooks to see what provides students the greatest amount of flexibility, the greatest use, and, you know, I think in the end it probably will end up being a combination of both some kind of a netbook and a tablet, because they're doing different things for the students in terms of their applications.
We just need a 21st century Microsoft operating system.
Also. I think we'll get that too.
It's coming next year.
That's called Apple.
No, it's not running Windows XP, which was introduced in 1999.
Yeah, just go with all Apple products.
No,
hey, I have two questions on this. Question one, you know, the different groups that are asking for them. There's been a lot of articles recently around iPads and special ed, how they help that.
We have.
So I don't.
That we do have several iPads in use for special education students. We began purchasing those last year.
Okay, and then Mike, is there a reason the iPad 3 versus the iPad 2? Is there something specific you're looking for, or is it just because it's the latest technology?
Well, the iPad 3 is the latest technology, and Apple, traditionally, once they've cut ties with a product, that's it. So the iPad 3 is their current model, and for support reasons and to stay current, we're gonna stick with the iPad 3.
Okay, I thought they were going to continue with the iPad 2, but okay, thanks.
That's it. Any other questions? That is it for our lengthy discussion agenda for this evening.
Thank you very much. Upcoming meetings, May 14th, 2012, special meeting at 7:30, Central Services Office. Is that a special meeting? It's a
May
regular
14th.
Meeting.
May
yeah, 14th. It's a regular board meeting.
It's a regular
it's
board.
A special, I apologize. Regular meeting. And then May 29th, a regular board meeting, 7:30 p.m. here again at Central Services Office. Any other matters to be discussed by the board? All right. And again, anybody present who wish to present publicly to the board? Okay.
We appreciate our visitors.
Yes, thank you for coming. Yeah. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters: collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, and the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion. Second.
Thank you, John. Roll call, please.
Mr. Allen?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondrad?
Yes.
Howard?
Yes. Yes. Right. Thank you very
we'll
much.
We'll be taking no action.
Yeah, no action when we return. Thank you.